The Paris 2024 Olympics have put foie gras on the menu.
Vegan food may not be safe for people with allergies.
And Victoria Beckham has her latest fashion show interrupted by animal rights protesters.
Anyway, that's enough of the falafel. I'm Logan.
And I'm Anthony, and this is episode 47 of Vegan Week. Welcome to the show, everybody, for another week of vegan news and all that jazz. I'm joined by my friend Logan. Hi, Logan. How are you doing?
Good. Hi, I'm Logan and I'm 11 years old.
Logan is 11 years old and he is joining us for a very special episode of Vegan Talk. That's coming out on Thursday. But seeing as we were sat here in our Vegan Week studio, we thought we may as well record the news together as well. So Logan's going to be giving his opinion on the week's news and all things vegan from an 11-year-old vegan perspective. Sound all right to you?
Yes.
Fantastic. Let's do it. Right, before we get too stuck into things, we do need to give a big shout out to our sponsors, Fire and Flow Coffee. They're an 100% vegan company, specialty coffee and tea. They do it all. Fireandflowcoffee.co.uk is the place to go. And for all of our lovely listeners, if you enter the code FALAFEL10, so that's the word falafel, and then 1 and a 0, if you enter that at the checkout, you get 10% off your order, which is pretty cool. Fancy some coffee, Logan?
No. Okay, that's enough of the falafel. Now let's get on to this week's news.
Okay, everyone, we have got a dozen or so stories that we're going to look at and we're going to give our opinions where we think there's a need to, aren't we? So, sad news, unfortunately, from the Paris 2024 Olympics, we heard some really good news a few weeks ago that they were committing to make 60% of their menu vegetarian. Obviously, a lot of that's going to be vegan too, which is cause for celebration. But they've announced this week that they will be serving foie gras. It is banned in many countries. For any listeners that don't know what foie gras is, it involves force feeding ducks, fattening them up and making a pate from their liver. Really horrible. But despite these international bans, France continues to produce it. And it seems like they're saying that it's a cornerstone of their cuisine. So they need to have it at the Olympics, which is a real shame.
I would say that that's terrible. It's just a terrible thing. And all those poor ducks.
Mm.
It's just really sad. Yeah, hopefully it won't keep happening.
Yeah, it's a shame when people say that tradition's more important than animals' feelings, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully people go for all the vegetarian food that they're offering instead.
Yeah, hopefully no one picks it, so they won't make it.
That's true, isn't it? If no one ordered it, that maybe they wouldn't offer it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Moving across Europe to Holland, Piet Adema, the Dutch agriculture minister, has announced this week a pause on substantial changes to improve the welfare of pigs, chickens and cows in the coming years. He said on Friday that it'd be too expensive and that he was unable to secure the necessary funding. He has sort of said that certain changes, like clean water and fresh air for farm animals, might be possible by 2030. Not quite sure why that costs money. And banning tail docking could happen in 2040. So they're really making these things happen later, but that's a real shame too.
Sad now, but that will hopefully change.
Yeah, kind of sucks, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
Oh dear, sad stories. We'll get on to some happy ones. Moving to the UK, on Tuesday, March the 5th, the UK government announced a revolutionary change prohibiting the domestication of primates as pets. Now, this law is going to come into effect from April 2026, so people have got 2 years to get used to it. There's an estimated 5,000 primates currently housed in UK homes, and in 2 years' time, that will basically become illegal because people wanting to keep primates are going to have to stick to really strict welfare and licensing criteria, basically up to zoo level standards, which I mean many vegans would say that's still not okay, but it basically will mean that people can't keep primates as pets in their home.
Well, I would say a few things. There's going to be a lot less monkey business going on.
Yay!
And that is a good thing. Less animals in houses, that like monkeys that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. And
it's hard, isn't it? Because people that have got primates in their homes at the moment probably feel like they love those animals a lot.
Yeah, so
being told that they can't have it will probably feel quite sad. Yeah. But
I mean, they could put their animals to a zoo and then they could go and visit them, but...
Yeah, or there are animal sanctuaries, aren't there? Yeah. That run as charities.
Yeah.
Well, and just one other new story in this segment, just following up from the story that we had, well, we've featured it several times, about the MV Bahija, the livestock boat that's been carrying tens of thousands of sheep across the sea. Unfortunately, that has been reloaded up with the same sheep to be sent back to Israel. So those poor animals, they've had over a month at sea. They've had a bit of respite in, I think it was Perth that we said, for a couple of weeks, but the rubber stamp has come through that they can be loaded back onto a ship again and have this horrible journey again, which is really sad. On to business news now. Burger King in Germany have announced that they are going to be making their plant-based meals cheaper than meat to encourage more customers to try them. I'm assuming that means the burgers, and like, because the chips are going to be plant-based.
Like, yeah.
They're making everything cheaper? I don't know. Anyway, the campaign, named Plant-Based for Everyone, will see menu items like the plant-based Whopper and the vegan long chicken reduced by, wait for it, 10 cents. 10 whole cents cheaper. And Burger King have said that the move has received positive feedback. Well, they would say that too. What do you reckon, Logan? Good news?
Yes. They could reduce the price a bit more than that, but yeah, 10 you know.
Cents isn't much,
yeah,
is it?
No. And yeah, there's a lot of things that already have got, like, there are a few things that will already be vegan, people just aren't noticing.
Mm.
Are they going to put those prices down, or are they just going to put the new things down, like you said? It's, I don't really know, but it's a good thing.
Can I ask how you feel about going to places like Burger King? Because obviously, like, they cook a lot of meat there. There's a lot of animal products there. How do you feel about going to places like that? Does that put you
off
or not?
Personally, I don't really go to those places. I have no need to. If I want to go somewhere to eat, I'll go to somewhere where it's nicer and more, like, less burgers. And it's, like, yeah.
Like, less animal products, you mean?
Yeah, less animal burgers, you know.
Yeah.
Nicer.
Yeah, that places. Feels nicer normally, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, back in the UK, Tesco have reported that the plant-based revolution appears to be entering a second phase. They noted that sales of plant-based food had dipped temporarily, but apparently the start of 2024, things have been improving. They say customers are starting to understand the versatility of plant-based ingredients and whole cuts. Sounds like a lot of PR to me. But over the last 3 months, sales of fish alternatives have risen by 100% compared to last year. Tofu and tempeh are up 20%. Plant-based steak and chicken breasts have also seen 20% sales boost. And meat-free burgers are up 10%. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think that's because of veganuary?
I don't know, probably. That's probably boosted it, and then people just kept buying the things once they've tried it, which could mean we could get more vegans or vegetarians out there, which is a nice thing, always.
Yeah, I guess the more food that's on shelves, it might just make people think, oh, maybe I'll try that.
Yeah, and then over time they could become vegan or vegetarian from enjoying that food and realising they don't need the other things.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Well, onto a study now. Did you know that if you swapped meat for corn, you could lower your cholesterol? Well, maybe you did know that. But it's been shown in a study by scientists from the University of Exeter and published in the Clinical Nutrition Journal. It involved 72 adults who were overweight at the time with high cholesterol levels, and they only swapped meat for corn. So there was only one swap. And the idea of this study was that instead of trying to change your whole diet, you just changed one product, and they experienced a 10% reduction. So not massively different, but an improvement nonetheless.
That's a good thing. Hopefully the more people that know about that is a good thing, because when people know that, they might change over to corn a bit.
Do you think people would do that, like, just for their health? Would they just do
maybe
a swap?
They might start doing a tiny bit more of that and a tiny bit less of the other things, like more corn.
Yeah.
A bit less of the other stuff.
I suppose it all helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It all helps. Now, this one really interested me. It really surprised me. This is from Statistics Netherlands. So it's not so much a study, it's more some research that they've done in Holland. And it said that most Dutch people, specifically 70% of Dutch people, eat at least one meatless dinner per week. Vegetarian dinners are eaten by 42% of people once or twice a week, with a smaller group choosing to eat them three or more times a week, and 5% of people eat a meatless meal every day. I thought that was really high, Logan. I don't know about you. Like,
yeah.
7 out of 10 people having at least one meatless meal a week. That's yeah. pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
We know some Dutch people. Maybe we should yeah, ask them.
We could.
I didn't see what they had for their lunch today. Should have checked in their lunchbox. Anyway, on to lifestyle news. And as Logan said in the show's intro, we have heard from the Food Standards Agency this week that vegan products are not always safe for people with dairy allergies. They advise consumers with dairy and fish allergies to check labels carefully because they may still contain animal products due to cross-contamination, despite the fact that they're aimed at vegans. And they did a survey, and 62% of people in England, Wales and Northern Ireland who have allergic reactions to animal-based products are confident that vegan products are always safe to eat. But according to the Food Standards Agency, that's not the case.
I already knew a bit about this. I already knew that occasionally things can contain milk. Yeah, and I know that my granddad has a friend who has, I think, a niece who can't eat gluten at all.
Hmm.
So they have to be really careful, and they have to get things from, like, they can't just go to a shop and buy the thing, just in case.
Mm.
And that's gluten, not milk, but it's still something that can be quite hard for people with allergic reactions to those things.
Yeah. Do you think it'll make people view vegan food differently? Because, like, in a way, that headline makes it sound like vegan food's not safe. But it's not saying it's not safe no. for everyone. It's just for people with strong allergies.
Yeah, only people with very strong allergies are going to be the ones who suffer. Like, if someone has something really mild, it's probably not worth being, like, you don't have to be like, oh, no, you can just, you know.
That's what I do with food. If it says it may contain dairy, I'm not bothered personally as a vegan, because that's not what it's about for me.
No, it probably won't.
Is that something you pay attention to? Whether it says, like, oh, there's a slight chance there might be some egg in this. Does that put you off? Or?
No, not really. Yeah, I only read some in the ingredients, and that's that. There is one thing I find annoying, which is that they put honey isn't in bold, and for vegans that can be a problem, as you just look for the things in bold, and honey isn't, you don't see it because it's not in bold, and then you could eat the thing.
Yeah, we're really lucky that in a sense that the egg and dairy products are put in bold, aren't we?
Yeah, but I think they should do that with honey too.
Mm.
Yeah.
Or just have to say whether something's vegan or not.
Yeah.
Do you think, here's a question for you, do you think that food, do you think you should have to say this is vegan, or should you have to say this contains animal products? Because there's a bit of a difference, isn't there?
That is interesting, yeah. Hmm. I'm not sure of that one.
I mean, it kind of makes no difference, really.
No,
but
if it doesn't contain animal products, it's vegan. If it does, it's non-vegan.
I think I just like the idea of there being a label that says, warning, this contains animal products. It makes it sound like it's a bad thing, which, of course, we'd see it is a bad thing.
Yeah, I would like. Yeah, that would be better.
Yeah.
It could put some people off.
Yeah. Yeah. I reckon there's a lot of people that wouldn't want that to happen, though, so I can't see it happening anytime soon, but maybe. Well, many of you will have heard of vegan runners. Well, there's a new vegan running club on the block. It's called the Vegan Running Club. They got in touch with us this week to announce their press release, their launch, offering runners who are vegan a choice of running club. They say they may be unique in having an animal rights initiatives coordinator as part of its support team. In addition, the club shall distribute surplus funds to animal welfare causes. You can find more info on veganrunning.club. Good news for everyone who likes a good walk in the Lake District. There is a new vegan cafe opening on the 1st of May. Debbie Scott is setting up the Botanical Kitchen, a new eatery set to open in Windermere. It's offering fully vegan and plant-based menu, and Debbie explained that most of the products, including the vegan meats, cheese, pâtés and dips, are produced in-house. Sounds all right?
Yeah, I think that's good, yeah. I like that.
What would your favourite thing to eat at a vegan cafe be?
It's just so much. I like so much food.
What would be on your menu if you were setting one up? What would you be selling?
I would definitely sell cakes.
Yeah.
That is something I would definitely sell. And if there were any leftovers that couldn't go that day, I'd have to eat them.
That people didn't buy. Oh, what a shame. We've not sold all the cake. I'll have to eat it.
Yeah, I mean, it could go stale if I don't, so...
That's true. You'd just be doing the sensible thing. Mm. On to campaigns now. And a new heritage panel has been installed near Narborough Road in Leicester. Why? And why, indeed, are we mentioning this? Well, they're celebrating Leicester as the home of veganism. Why are they saying that? Well, that is where Donald Watson and his wife Dorothy came from, and those two, of course, if you didn't know, they coined the term veganism, so they came up with that name in the 1940s. Logan, is Leicester the birthplace of veganism, do you think?
No. Why? Just no.
Why not?
Well, it's been around so long, there'll be so many people living in other places around the world in different countries who have been vegan long before he decided to name it.
Mm.
So,
yeah. It's fair enough, I think, for Leicester to be proud that the person who came up with the name vegan is from there. That's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah, the home of the name vegan, but it's not the home of veganism.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But yeah, there we are. There's a blue plaque in Leicester celebrating that for anyone who's interested. Over to the Paris Fashion Week now, and animal rights activists from PETA have disrupted Victoria Beckham's catwalk show at the Paris Fashion Week. PETA campaigners stormed the runway as Victoria Beckham showcased her autumn winter 2024 collection on Friday. The protesters walked alongside the models holding up signs saying Viva Vegan Leather. Their t-shirts read, "Animals aren't fabric, turn your back on animal skins." And the group said, whilst Beckham's brand has banned the use of fur and exotic skins, it still uses a large quantity of cruelly obtained leather, particularly calf skin.
Well, I think elephants and creatures like that, they live far away, but they still have emotions, like cows still have emotions the same as them.
Mm.
They're just more common.
Mm.
So people think that they can harm them and it's fine, but they can't harm an elephant, and that's really not true.
Mm.
They shouldn't harm any.
Yeah. Do you think there's something as well about the fact that sort of exotic skins, so-called exotic skins, they're from animals that are in danger, so there's fewer of them left, so people are more protective?
Yeah.
But like you say, like cows feel just as much, don't they? Or animals who have their fur taken.
Yeah.
What do you think about people interrupting and disrupting something to get their message across? Like, do you think that's okay?
Well, in this case, it's a bad thing that's happening.
Mm.
She's harming animals. So in this case, I would say yes. They can disrupt this fashion show.
Yeah.
People need to know, and it's a big fashion show. But with other things, there are times where it isn't appropriate. But in this situation, I think that was the right way.
Mm. Do you think it's always okay to, like, be disruptive on behalf of animals? Like, if we're saying horrible things happen to animals, so that means I can do what I want?
No, I wouldn't, because you can't just do it any time.
Mm.
Like,
it's hard, isn't it? Because different people have different opinions on it, don't they? So, like, she's probably really cross that's happened at her fashion show. She's been working really hard towards it, and it's been disrupted. She's probably feeling really cross.
Yeah, I mean, she's cross, but there are a lot of people who are probably thinking that they're happy that it's been ruined, because now people know, like, they've got their message out.
Mm. And the cows, well, they can't feel cross anymore because they're not with us anymore because of that industry. So that's perhaps the key thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
they can't even feel cross because they've been killed. Mm. Well, possibly even more controversial. We're getting more controversial with each story here. This was reported in the Daily Mirror. A vegan, this is in America, has sparked outrage after revealing how he wants to sue his neighbour for cooking a barbecue next door. He didn't appreciate having to smell the meat cooking on the barbecue and now wants to know whether he has a claim in court. Talking online, he said, "Can I sue my neighbour for hosting a barbecue in the neighbourhood because I'm vegan?" What do you reckon, Logan? Has he got a point?
Well, he could say something. He could ask them nicely if they could do it at a time when he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he could sue them. It's not going to work. It's a bit overdramatic. I'm vegan, I wouldn't like it, but I wouldn't be so dramatic about it.
Yeah.
And those people live next to you, they're not going to just forgive him, are they?
That's a really good
point. This is going to stick.
Mm. Stick and stink, yeah. Yeah, he's probably not doing himself any favours taking that approach. I suppose we don't know the whole story, do we?
No.
It might be they're doing it every day.
It's unreasonable, but...
Yeah, but suing is... still probably not the right way to go, is it? Anyway, moving on. Some positive news here. We reported a few weeks ago about the forced swim test, these horrible tests that animals are forced to do in the name of scientific research. Well, the positive sounding news anyway is that Lord Sharp of Epsom, OBE, Parliamentary Undersecretary of State Home Office, that's a long name, isn't it, has said that he aims to completely eliminate the use of the forced swim test, but it will require suitable, appropriate alternatives to be validated. So, sounds like it might be on the way out, but they're horrible tests, aren't they? We were talking about them before the show, Logan.
Yeah, it's a bad thing. The animal has no choice. It can't do anything. It's just got to do that.
Yeah, it sounds like it's got a step closer to being banned. Finally, a celebratory event for a local hunt group that was due to take place at a Stourton pub has been cancelled amid pressure from anti-hunt activists and animal rights supporters. The Albrighton and Woodland Hunt had been due to hold its end of season supper, how very nice, at the Fox Inn on Bridge North Road on March the 21st. However, on social media, the pub came under fire from anti-hunt organisations and a lot of pressure was applied and ultimately the meal has not gone ahead. A spokesperson for the group said, "The bullying tactics of the anti-hunt and animal rights group have caused distress and anxiety to a local business who's lost a considerable amount of money as a result." What do you think, Logan? Is it all right that this meal's had to be cancelled, or is it unfair that pub's going to lose some money? Like, where do you stand?
Well, my opinion is, it's a shame the pub is going to lose some money, but I don't think that all of those fox hunting people should have something to celebrate about. I don't think they should have something to celebrate about. They just shouldn't be hunting the foxes. Well, that's my opinion, but...
I mean, maybe the protesters could go and have a meal there instead and they could celebrate the fact that the fox hunters aren't going to do it, and then the pub still gets some money.
Yeah, that if they did that, that's better. Yeah.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, that is the end of all of our news stories for this week. So let's bring our conversation to an end.
If you want to send us any emails or any opinions you've had from listening, just send an email in at enoughofthefalafel@gmail.com. Thank you everyone for listening today. If you've enjoyed this show, there is more episodes available.
That's absolutely right. And you can find them wherever you're getting this podcast from. Just scroll down. There's loads more. There's our vegan talk show. There is more episodes of Vegan Week, and there's even our Going Vegan show where we interview people about their vegan journey. We've also got coming up on Thursday, or that's irrelevant if you're listening in the future, but on Thursday we've got our next episode of Vegan Talk, and that is going to be the two of us, me and Logan, talking about being a vegan child.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah. Anyway, that's enough of the falafel for this episode. I've been Logan.
And I've been Anthony, and you've been listening to episode 47 of Vegan Week. This show is kindly sponsored by our friends at Fire and Flow Coffee Roasters.
And they're such great people. They're offering all Enough of the Falafel listeners a cheeky 10% off orders on their online store when using the code FALAFEL10. That's Falafel, the number 10. Fire and Flow, a specialty coffee roastery based in the Cotswold with a fully vegan coffee shop on site.
Yeah, they're a vegan founded company too. They're run by three friends, Shah, Callum and Phil, and they specialise in roasting and supplying wholesale coffee beans to coffee shops, restaurants, hotels and offices.
For the wholesale part of their operations, they work with other businesses to help them get the most out of their coffee offering, with free barista training and full technical support included.
The products themselves are the result of their passion for working with skilled and ethical-minded farmers who produce the highest quality beans. Fire and Flow then roast them to perfection in small batches at their roastery in Cirencester, which you can visit at any time. Book onto one of their barista courses or roastery tours via their website, fireandflowcoffee.co.uk.
While you're there, you can check out the beautiful, fully vegan coffee shop on site. I've been there myself. It's absolutely brilliant. And it's open 7 days a week from 9 till 3. The last time I went, it was a Sunday afternoon. It was glorious. It's just a fab place to hang out and feel good about life.
Give them a follow on Instagram to get the latest at fireandflowcoffee. And for those online orders, remember the code exclusively for our brilliant Enough of the Falafel community. That is Falafel 10. 10 is 1 and 0. So Falafel 10.